Let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you open our hearts and minds to what you have to say to us by your Spirit as we look at your word today. Amen. Amen. So how's everyone doing? Good. They're good on this side. This side all right? Yeah, a few tired folks who were here last night as well. I thought I'd start off by clearing up a rumor. Always a good way to start a sermon. Is that okay? So there was a rumor that I wasn't here last week because I was running a marathon. And it is actually true. And I've got the medal, so you can have a look at that. If you want to pass it. You can have a look at that if you want. And I have a new personal worst record. It turned out I had a pain in my foot, which was a pain. And after about 30 kilometers, things just slowed down. So, but I did it, and I got to the end. And near the start, there was someone, people in the crowd have signs. And someone had a sign saying, "At least you're not at work." And I don't know if that was just for me or if there were other people that work Sunday mornings as well, but, you know, as the same person, I guess, was cheering somebody on and moved at different points along the course. And I think I must have seen them about 35 kilometers out of 42, thinking, I kind of wish I was now because my sermons aren't as long as this. Anyhow, you'll be pleased to know I am not going to use the marathon image in my preaching today because I have done that before, although it is a very easy preach, the Christian journey and the marathon. So today we are in John's Gospel, and we're in John chapter 10, and the part of the passage that we miss, but I'll just refresh you because you probably know it, is the first half of John 10. Jesus is talking about being the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. So that's the bit that's come just before, and then we get the bit just afterwards. So where are we? We are in Jerusalem. It is November, December. It's the Feast of the Dedication, if you look in John 10, verse 22, also known as Hanukkah. So you know that the Jewish folks celebrate that around the time we'll be celebrating Christmas, typically. So this is one of the festivals where a lot of people go, but not everyone, and they would have come to the temple to celebrate. Jesus was in the temple courts, it says, verse 23, walking in Solomon's colonnade. So Solomon's colonnade is called that because they think that that's roughly where the remains of Solomon's temple was. So in the temple, or around the temple, there were four porches on each side. I don't know if you perhaps live in a house with a kind of a front deck and a back deck. Well, this has a front deck, a back deck, and two side decks, if you can imagine. And Solomon's colonnade is on the east side of the temple. It's got a cedar-paneled roof that spans 49 feet wide, and marble columns holding the roof up that are 38 feet tall. That's quite big. And it was a bit like our narthex, cafe, foyer, different people call it different things. But the space out there, where after the service, you go out and you get a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and you talk about the readings you heard in church, you talk about the sermon, you talk about the songs, yeah, all those kinds of things. So that's exactly what they did in this particular part of the temple. After they had been inside the temple, they went outside and had coffee and chatted about scripture. Well, I don't know if they had coffee, but I'm sure if coffee was around, they would have had coffee. But anyway, that's what they did, and that's what we do. So that's where it was. So Jesus is around the temple, walking there in the place where they chew the fat, as it were, over what's just gone on his side. And so they gather around him, the religious folks, and they say, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly." They, as we see in a moment, don't really want to know whether Jesus is the Messiah, so much as they want to catch him out. Because if he claims to be the Messiah, that would be blasphemy. And they're trying to catch Jesus out. They want to incriminate him. And so that's why in verse 25 he answers, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me." So Jesus never said in exact words, "I am the Messiah." But his words indicated who he was. His actions indicated who he was. We can read elsewhere in the Gospels lots of encounters where Jesus is talking to people, like Nicodemus, for example. But he talks to different people and basically says who he is without exactly saying who he is. If you remember the series that we did in Mark's Gospel in 2020, we talked about the messianic secret that comes up. Anyone remember that? No? Okay, it's time to do a new series on Mark's Gospel, I think. So this is the idea that the messiahship of Jesus is kind of kept a secret, and deliberately, which it kind of isn't specifically, but Jesus does not plainly use the words, "I am the Messiah," because who would believe him? In fact, any of you who have a television or the news will probably have seen at some time in the last few years different people who claim to be Jesus coming back. Has anyone ever seen those news stories or seen little videos? And yeah, I'm Jesus, and there's various folks in different parts of the world who think they're or claim to be Jesus. And frankly, we don't believe them. And one of the reasons we don't believe them is because they say, "I'm Jesus and I've come back." And we go, "Yeah, that's not right." There's something about the playing it down, almost, that helps us believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And so that's what he is making the point here. He's saying, "I did tell you, but you did not believe." He told them in words of scripture that they would understand, but somehow they didn't see through the wood for the trees. Scripture that they would know, but they had a different interpretation. "You do not believe," he says, verse 26, "because you are not my sheep." Harsh? A little bit harsh? "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." So the image of the sheep in the Old Testament, we see that God is the shepherd of Israel. And the shepherd is one who provides for sheep. A number of times I've done a sermon on Psalm 23 at funerals. Some of you may have heard it. Hopefully didn't remember it too well, because I'll probably use it again. And in my Psalm 23 sermon that I've used at funerals, I talk about, you know, being in Maple Ridge here, and we've got lots of cows around, but there aren't many sheep. There's one or two sheep in Wanaka, I know. I've seen them when I've been out there running. But there's, you know, not kind of loads of sheep. So you can imagine my surprise when I had to eat my words the last time I used that very sermon at a memorial service at Garden Hill Funeral Chapel in Maple Ridge, when as soon as the funeral had finished, one of the family members came up and said, "Let me introduce you to my friend. They're sheep farmers in Maple Ridge." Oh, good. So evidently, 248th and 256th is the place if you want to go out and find sheep. They're there, in that side of town. And there's loads of them. And now I see them all the time when I drive by, because I'm aware that there are actually lots of sheep here. I just was looking in the wrong place. The image of the Good Shepherd is the shepherd will take care of the sheep, will protect the sheep from poachers, will keep them safe, will sit up half the night kind of keeping an eye on them. Imagine kind of having half sleep. Like if you have dogs or cats, they never kind of sleep for a long time. They do kind of half sleeps, and they're very easy to wake up when something catches their ear. or they hear something and they kind of, they're awake all of a sudden. And I kind of imagine that's what it would be like for a shepherd out on the hills in Israel, Palestine. And there's different predators that the shepherd will need to protect the sheep from. In Maple Ridge, I imagine, it's more things like cougars and bobcats and coyotes and things like that. In the hills of Palestine, Israel, it would be different kinds of creatures and things, and maybe people, poachers, who might come and steal the sheep, that sort of thing. And so the shepherd is one who makes sure the sheep are safe. That is the image that the Bible uses through the Old Testament in Psalm 23 of God and the way God cares for the people of Israel. He is the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in pastures green. He makes me lie down in pastures green. Quite easy to imagine pastures green if you drive up 256th Street. They're very green. But in the heat of the Middle East, the green is not lush green, and so on. So the image of God as shepherd is way beyond what we can perhaps imagine, even better than we can imagine. God wanting to give out so many blessings that our cup overflows. And so Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." He's talking about the disciples. Those who are Jesus' disciples, his followers, they hear his voice, they know his voice, and they follow him. It's said that sheep do particularly know the shepherd's voice, and they can distinguish between the call of the shepherd, whether it is actually their shepherd or another shepherd who's trying to steal the sheep away. I give them, verse 28, eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So backtrack. Verse 24, if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Verse 30, I and the Father are one. I think that's quite plain. Jesus is equating the oneness of himself with God. He talks about security for eternity. If you're a sheep, if you're in Jesus's, one of his disciples, one of his followers, the security of having God as your shepherd, Christ as your shepherd, both forever are yours. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus is saying that he and God are one in mission and purpose. And in saying that they're one, he's claiming to be divine. He's claiming to be God. I and the Father are one. If he's one with the Father, then he must be God. And so I think he did answer the question pretty plainly. If you're the Messiah, will you tell us? The assurance for us, I think it's quite mind-blowing when we stop and think about it. The image of God as the shepherd over the whole of Israel is moved into the New Testament with Jesus claiming, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. That the sheep, that is those who are his disciple followers, hear and know his voice. They listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. It's like this is underlined and double underlined. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of God's hand. They're safe. In a world that feels like uncertain, where we're not sure how safe we are from day to day, where countries are fighting other countries with pretty expensive, sophisticated, and downright scary weapons, some of which verge on nuclear or are nuclear. We can know that as disciple followers of Jesus, as those who hear his voice, he has us forever, for eternity. And that is good news. But it's not just good news for us. It's good news that we get to share with other people. You know, that is why when we talk at St. George's and we put it on the sign, that's how much we believe it, that we're here to live and share the good news. We're not just meant to sit here with a nice kind of warm, fuzzy glow in our hearts. It's all right. I can hear the shepherd's voice. I know Jesus, and Jesus knows me. But that we're to take that and share it as far and wide as we go. We're to tell our story of what that means to us. And you don't have to worry about the theology. That's my job. You can just let people know your story, how it is that you experience hearing the good news of the voice of Jesus in your life. Share that, tell folks. And then when they have a difficult theological question, you could say, let me introduce you to my pastor. Just make sure you primed me with a cup of coffee first and we'll be good to go. Psalm 23, and we'll sing Psalm 23 later in the service, and there'll also be a video of it, so if you don't know it, it's going to come up twice more. Psalm 23 is loved and known by people in the church and outside the church, and I just think it is a wonderful way of sharing this message that God is our shepherd. That Christ is our shepherd. And people in the world today need a shepherd to keep them safe, a voice that they can listen to and trust, a voice that is not just for now here on earth, but a voice that is for the whole of eternity. So I'm going to pray that as we go from here, we're not going yet, but when we go from here, that we can be people who tell the good news of the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for the reminder of who we are in you, that we are those who are given eternal life, that nothing and nobody can snatch us from your hand. And we pray that we would be people who can live and share this good news at 10 o'clock tomorrow, at work and at school, everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen.